can't worship for hours. We're not ready. We're not ready for heaven. And this morning we really calibrated in the sense that we just sang about God. That's what worship is supposed to be. Sometimes we praise and worship, but we sing for half an hour about our own conditions and stories, but it's not focused on God. So this morning is really such a blessing to me. Okay, so let's just jump right in. Since Craig has already prayed, Craig, I'm just going to move this table so I can get to my notes. Thanks. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. I've been told that it's also the scripture that we got at intercession this week. I'm going to start and end, almost end with it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Enough of that now. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. The title of my sermon, I didn't have a title up there, but it is Stand Firm. So just, I have preached this specific message before at Durbanville and in Worcester, and I've been misunderstood. People thought that I was preaching an eschatological sermon, for those of us who don't swallow dictionaries. It's just about the end times. This is not a sermon about the end times, even though I do speak about that a little bit. It's really just a message to encourage us and to help us encourage one another in difficult circumstances and times. So that evil day that it speaks of, it biblically, it can refer to many things. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he says that the last days there will be times of great difficulty. We've experienced it, but the generations before us have experienced it as well. I think we've been in the last days since Jesus went back. It's been difficult. if you're on the earth, it's difficult. Ecclesiastes 12, I thought that was funny. It says, remember the Lord in your youth before the evil days come. So I don't know when youth stops. Most of us are supposed to be in our evil days already. Then Ephesians 5 says, make the best of our time because the days are evil. And Afrikaans said, it could be tight, eight months leven and goddeloos in tyre. And then this Ephesians 6 talks about, we must be able to stand in the evil day. So it doesn't necessarily speak about the end of the end times. It's just a time of trouble, a time of difficulty, temptation that comes. And many of us have an evil day 5 days out of the week. Okay, but we must be able to stand in that. So today I'm gonna look at 3 questions. I don't normally summarize my sermon, but I think there's somebody who needs to hear it like that. I'm gonna 3 questions are you offended by Christ? Are you tempted to turn away? What causes a turning away? And then lastly, what can we practically do about it? Okay. So let's just go back quickly. I love history. We all know, especially now that we're in Easter and we read a lot of stuff about Easter and hear sermons on it. When Jesus was on the earth, he was in Israel and it was governed by Rome at the time. We know that it was a Roman Empire. An empire had lots of building projects, armies. We know, those of you do still study history in school, eh? They teach you about Rome, or they only teach you about South African history. Okay. it was a vast empire, but Rome didn't just happen. It was built on, guess what, taxes. No surprise there. They had to pay grain toll to feed the armies, taxes on produce. They had sales taxes, temple taxes, occupational taxes, custom taxes, transit taxes, many others. You can go study it. It's true. Herod was the ruler over Israel for Rome. He also wanted to make Israel his own little special empire, so he required his own tax. So not only were the Jews required to pay tribute to Rome, also to Herod, and they continued as a temple state, so they also had to pay the tithes, the offerings, the various sacrifices as required by the Old Testament laws. All in all, they were in a hard, difficult time when Jesus came. No wonder they were all looking for a savior, you know, someone to stop the oppression of Rome. And then suddenly there was this rumors about this guy preaching in the desert. It wasn't new. There was a lot of desert preachers at that time. But this one was different because he did real miracles. At first I didn't believe it, but there was real miracles. And he was weird. He was different. He had women amongst his followers. That didn't happen. Okay? And this guy didn't social distance from lepers and from any sicknesses, not even dead people that can cause you to be unclean. I wish that Jesus was here this last 2 years. I really honestly believe he wouldn't have locked himself up. Anyway, that's just me. Everywhere he went, people encountered something out of this world. Okay? And no wonder he gathered followers, not like we do on Instagram, you know. He gathered real followers. And there were different kinds of people. On the internet, you kind of gather the same people as you. But they were very diverse. There was devout Jews that were looking for the Messiah. There were zealots who thought he's going to, you know, get an army together. There was poor and sick people who wanted a miracle. There was sensation seekers. The paparazzi was there. They've always been there. There is the religious establishment, because he made a lot of claims that they didn't like or that they questioned. And he said and did a lot of things that people liked. He talked about true religion. He talked about mercy, forgiveness. He fed hungry crowds. But he also offended people. And he offended everybody, not just the Pharisees and the lawgivers. I read this week the Pharisee in Luke 11. It's not up there. A Pharisee invited him for a meal. And like a good Jewish boy, if you get a free meal, you go. We still do that today. And then Jesus didn't wash his hands. I really wish he was here in COVID time. He didn't wash his hands. Then he had a mouthful to say to the host, because the host was like, why is he not washing his hands? And then he told him, you wash your hands and do all the little things and you look nice on the outside, but inside you're rotten. That's his host. Okay? And then he goes on about, we need to not neglect the heavier things of the law. We need to do the right things. We clean on the inside. And then a lawyer stood up, offended for his friend's sake. And he said, but Lord, you're not also offending us. You're also offending us, the lawyers. And then Jesus didn't say, oh, sorry. No, he said, woe to you lawyers also. And then he says, you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. And then he continues in blaming all the prophets' deaths on this generation. That's how the people hosted him. Okay, he also offended his own followers and his family. I'm going to read a large portion of scripture because this is many of his followers left him at this point. John 6, verse 53 to 69, you can read with me. The guy that's on the slides needs to be awake now. There's going to be three. Read with me. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in a synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? I mean, they're saying, what is he saying? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter said to him, Lord, and I've said this to the Lord so often, where shall I go? If you are now offended at the Lord, where do we go? You have the words of eternal life. So we can identify, that was then. Today we can identify, we are tired of taxes, of rising petrol prices, of losing our jobs, of people dying. When the pandemic started, I was like, I don't know anyone who's dead. Today I know a few people, Christian people, healthy people who died. during the pandemic. We all have those stories. And many of us, some of us are tired. We're like, Lord, when is the breakthrough coming? I know we're celebrating that the state of disaster is lifted, but the effects of what we've been through is still at play. There's many people who are poor. There's many people who've lost their houses. There's people who've lost their jobs, who've lost family. And we've kept following him this far. But for some of us, it just gets worse. No matter how hard we try to stay focused on Christ, we pray, we worship, we rebuke the enemy, we worry, we pray again, we hold on to the Lord, then another thing happens. Another thing falls through, another family feud, and your teenager rebels again, and just yesterday you thought we had a breakthrough. Monday I was like, Lord, thank you for the breakthrough. And on Tuesday, we started doubting whether God is still in our boat. We start doubting whether God is still in our boat. We start doubting whether we're still in God's boat. I asked the Lord a couple of times the last couple of years, Lord, did I not hear you, Rach? Did I not? Obviously, I must have missed you because it's too hard. I must be in the wrong place because where you are, they must just, you know, it must be easier. Okay. And then Jesus said to me, are you offended also? Do you also want to leave? And he legitimately asked this question because rumors of wars and wars we've had earthquakes, we've had famines, but one of the signs of the end times is a great apostasy. Now, for those of you, apostasy means the act of refusing to continue to follow, refusing to continue to obey, or an abandonment of a loyalty, the great apostasy. And I didn't think that was something that we struggle with, but last year we've heard from personal friends say, in my heart, I've thought, Lord, where are you? Are you still in my boat? Am I still in your boat? It's hard to follow you. And I've heard people say, we don't know if we believe anymore, from more than one person. And maybe you haven't said it, but maybe you've heard it being said. Maybe you've thought it in your heart. You've doubted the goodness of God. You've doubted his plans. He's called you to Claymont. Now you're here and now nothing is happening. And you're like, Lord, did I hear you right? And Jesus says to us, do you want to go away? Okay. Matthew 24. Jesus said he was sitting on the Mount of Olives and his disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will the sign of your coming and the end of the age be? Here's a little bit about the end time. And Jesus said, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed. It will take place, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. These are just the beginning of birth pains. They will deliver you up to tribulation, put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. This is not many unsaved people. This is Christians. False prophets will arise and lead many astray, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Okay. So what will cause this falling away? Okay, it speaks about lawlessness, but today I want to talk about the times of trouble that brings great temptation. Yes, I know affluence can also cause people to fall away. We've seen it in the West. The Western countries that was built on Christian principles and now live in the freedom and the blessing that a Christian foundation brings is now turning away from the Lord. Turning away from the Lord wholeheartedly. And God knows that. He's even said that in Deuteronomy 8. He told Israel, before he sent them into the promised land, he said, be careful now, it's going to go well with you. But be careful that you forget about me. The minute, you can go read in Deuteronomy 8, the minute you become your silver and your gold multiplies, your herds and your flock multiplies, you've got big houses, be careful to forget about me. So there is a danger that when it's going well with us, that we can grow cold and turn away from the Lord, because, you know, I've gotten this for myself. But much worse than that is times of temptation. I haven't experienced in my own life, when it goes well with me, you know, maybe I'm not as zealous for the Lord, but I still thank Him for everything. But when it goes really tough with me, I start doubting. I often doubt whether I've heard the Lord, whether it's there. Did He speak to me? Is the enemy? My favorite is, Lord, what did I do wrong? I must now sin. Now You're punishing me, like Job's friends. You must have sinned. That's why God is punishing you. Okay. And we think, well, it won't happen to me. But it happened to John the Baptist. He was close to Jesus. He was the greatest prophet. In Matthew 11, you read, John the Baptist was being put in prison for doing the right thing. He did the right thing. He was put in prison. Then he heard of what Jesus is doing. And then he sent a messenger to Jesus and he said, are You the one that is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answers his good friend, John the Baptist. He says, You hear what is happening. You hear about all the signs are there. Then Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended by Me. John is in prison. It's going tough with him. And Jesus says, don't be offended by Me. Suffering itself does not cause the falling away, but it brings the temptation if we are not rooted. Matthew 11:13 is the parable of the sower. Matthew 13:20, sorry, I'm misquoting here. Jesus says, he who receives the word in stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So tribulation and persecution comes because of the word, but if we have no root in us, we stumble. Who is the root? It's Jesus. He's the vine. We are the branches, John 15. Now, suffering will come. I don't want you to go out and say, oh, I just embrace all my sufferings and rejoice in it. Sometimes we suffer stupidly. Jesus didn't call us to do that. Sorry, I'm quoting Greg. Sometimes we suffer because we're stupid, we're disobedient. The Lord says, do not watch that. And you do that and tomorrow you feel terrible. But there's other, you know, children suffer stupidly all the time. And us too. But there's a difference when you suffer with the Word of God and in the Spirit, then God can actually grow something in you, bring you closer to Him. I have an example. It is time at the end I want to share that example. But the reason why the temptation comes to many of us is that our theology is sometimes wrong. We really believe that if God is in our boat, He's going to quiet every storm. It's not even going to ever touch us. And sometimes He just goes with us through the valley of death. He promises to never ever leave us. Okay? John 16:33 says, in the world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's a promise there. 2 Timothy 2, Paul continues and he says, well, he said that before the other one, understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And you know that scripture, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, arrogant, disobedient to their parents. We are in the last days, ne? Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unfeasible, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, having the appearance of godliness. I'm just jumping over a lot of it. Avoid such people. It's nogal harsh. I really believe Paul is saying, Christians that you walk a road with that continue these things, and they don't want to grow, avoid them, because bad company will corrupt. Ne? We have not If we have not prepared ourselves for it, we might find ourselves offended at Christ. But it's never too late to change our viewpoint or our attitude. Many of us have been living like we are in a cruise ship. And then the breakfast doesn't come on time and then we are offended at Christ. But he never said that you're boarding a cruise ship. It has been a warship from day one. And I don't know where this theology comes from that we are in for just a joyride. I am convinced that my dad was in the army. It was tough, tough, tough. He was a recce and a parabat. But he speaks with such joy of that times. So joy is our portion, but we are on a warship. We can have joy in the midst of trouble and tribulations. And this week, every morning, we ask the kids to say what they're thankful for because it really works. Thankfulness, ons sê, dankbaarheid is die medisyne vir die kermkiem. So thankfulness kills the moan germ. And then they say the same things every day, but my little girl, she's just ministered to me so much. She says every morning, I only have one thing that I'm thankful for, Mom. I'm thankful that I have Jesus, because if I have Jesus, I have everything. So we must prepare ourselves and we must change our theology and not our own, just our own. We must change and help and encourage each other, our children, our brothers and sisters, to be able to stand in these difficult times. The idiom is, says, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Proverbs 22:3 says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go and suffer for it. Here is your suffering stupidly. I will be simple, I will be stupid, if I allow my children to consume Disney, 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 and I know their agenda is not in line with the Word of God. They have said so, it's open, it's out there. If I'm a prudent parent, I will hide myself from that. I will make an effort to find other things. I don't hide them from technology. But there's good things out there, and I will go find the good and the beautiful. I will not just succumb to the spirit of this age. We must be prudent. Otherwise, I will suffer for it, and my children will suffer for it. Hebrews 11:7. And your children will suffer for it because they play with my children. That's why we're a family. Okay. By faith, Noah, being warned by the concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By faith. Nee? Corrie ten Boom wrote a letter to the church in 1974 to the Western Church to encourage them to get ready for the hard times to come. That is now after the First and the Second World War. She's encouraging the church for the hard times to come. At that time, a large part of the church was already suffering great persecution. We know that, especially in China, Mao's communism in 1949. Because she saw that instead of preparing the Christians in China for persecution, they told them, do not worry. Jesus loves you too much. He will not allow you to suffer. He will come and get you before this great persecution arises. And great persecution arose. Many were tortured, many died, but many, many, many Christians left the faith because of that great suffering and persecution. And she said, we need to prepare ourselves for difficult times so that we can encourage each other. We need to put the word in. This is the practically the last, but practically what do we do? And that's the key, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. You can take all kinds of things from there. I've just taken a couple of things like first, be strong in the Lord. We rely on God and not on people. My husband is one of the people that believes everybody is as good as he is. He always gives you the benefit of the doubt. His heart is always pure. He says stuff sometimes and people are, you can't say that to your wife. I'm like, I know what is in his heart. He doesn't mean that. His heart is always pure. But then he gets so upset when people don't treat him with the same respect and dignity that he offers. I'm like, love, we cannot trust people. We must expect them to fail us. We rely on God, not on people, so that we don't fight people, but love them. We do not wrestle against principalities. Jesus said to his disciples there in Matthew 24, that people will hate one another And during the pandemic, we lost friends. I was astonished. People that I thought we were aligned, suddenly I weren't welcome in the house anymore. Because of what nonsense? People in the same church are fighting on Facebook about, I'm not even going to say what. That's like, I was like, Lord, we are in the end times, the Christians are fighting. And that is sad to me. And even in our congregation in Durbanville, we had to start repairing walls again, getting people back together again. We're not supposed to fight people, especially not those in our household, but also not those outside. And with that, I don't mean we avoid every contention. So we need to speak the truth in love out there. So because what I do is just, I just don't say anything. Nobody will know whether I'm vaccinated or not. I'm just going to not say anything. Then nobody can fight with me. But sometimes we just need to speak up the truth in love. And I'm not talking about vaccinations. I'm talking about biblical things, okay? And we need to stay in the Word. It says that we must put the belt of truth on, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Read it, walk with Christ. Corrie ten Boom said, after she changed her mind about being on a warship, every time she reads a scripture, then she will think, this is a good scripture to know when it's a hard time. This is a scripture to know in the tribulation. Then she would memorize it. Just her attitude changed. Imagine if we find ourselves in jail, in persecutions, at the doors of emperors, at, I don't know, who rules the city here? If we find ourselves at the school board and there's difficult questions and we are full of scripture that we've memorized, that we are ready, the Holy Spirit can just use us. I know we quote and say the Holy Spirit will remind us what to say when we come in those difficult situations. He will remind you of what you've put already inside of you. There must just be lots of things that He can remind you of. Okay? So put it inside, He will then remind you which one you need to quote now. Okay. God loves us, but He's not lazy. We mustn't be lazy either. Okay. This is another thing. To build our faith. Ephesians 6 talks about building our faith. Read and watch missionary stories and biographies. My children complain often about they had, I don't know, burnt toast or what, millipop. It's burnt today. Then we have our quiet time and then we read a missionary story. Then suddenly burnt millipop is not so bad. Okay. I have just put on, just because last time the moms asked me all the time, but where do we find these stories? You can order, there's more than 50 books. That's books written for children, primary school children. That is a whole series of missionaries that's animated. You can find half of them for free on YouTube. They do not have to watch Disney or whatever. They can really watch stuff. And they love it. That is just stories about missionaries. It will encourage you as well. There's stories about Hudson Taylor, the great missionary in China. It's all on YouTube for free. You can go watch it. If you want to spend time in front of the television, make sure you've built your faith as well. Otherwise, Wednesday you must go to church and now the whole church has built you up again because you ate a lot of rubbish through your eyes on the weekend. Let's not be those people. Okay, it's out there, but it's hidden, and we need to go find it. And we have the Holy Spirit that helps us. And obviously, the last thing I want to say is to pray for the persecuted church. Tanifrida will now say amen. Open Doors. If you don't know what to pray for, subscribe to Open Doors' newsletter. All of you are subscribed to various things. I know it comes into your inboxes, and every day you think, I must unsubscribe of that. Just go and unsubscribe and subscribe to something that will bring faith into your life. They tell you what to pray, but to pray for the persecuted church, because we forget that we are part of the persecuted, we are part of the church, and if they suffer, we suffer. And if we pray for the persecuted church, suddenly when it goes tough with us, we don't fall away, we are not offended at Christ. We thank the Lord daily for the little things that we go through, because we are busy carrying our brothers and sisters that are being beheaded in Nigeria. So let's just have some perspective. It will shape your worldview. It will change your mindset, your words and your actions. You will not fall away. Because Jesus didn't, yes, he prophesied that lots will fall away, but it's not his heart for us to fall away. Okay? He anointed us to overcome. We are called to overcome. Jesus promises. Now here, I know you said, but you know, your theology is very one-sided. No. There is a prosperity theology. It is there, and I'm going to conclude with it. Jesus promises prosperity for those who overcome this world. Okay, in Revelations, he promises the tree of life, you will eat of it. You won't be hurt by the second death. People are trying, paying millions of bucks to stay young and not die. Jesus says you won't be hurt by the second death. Just stay in him. While you're getting cloyed, just stay in him, okay? He's going to give you hidden manna to eat. You're going to get a new stone with a new name written on. He who keeps my works till the end, I will give him power over nations. You will be clothed in white garments. Your name will not be blotted from the book of life. That's amazing. Okay, so there is prosperity. There is a prosperity gospel. It's in the Bible. Okay? and we can just focus on the Lord. And he will take care of us. Through, I can testify of all the hard times, he's always with us. But let us not get offended with the Lord. When we go through a tough time, when it's really hard, let us confess it to our brothers and sisters. Don't hide it. Say, I'm really having a hard time. I don't experience the Lord. And help us encourage one another with the word of God so that we can be rooted in Christ and not fall away. So that we can say, like Paul, this is the last scripture, 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Thank you, Lord, that I know, Lord God, all of us sitting here today, Father God, are quickened in our spirits and excited, Lord, because we know that you carry us in your hand. Lord, we have different challenges, questions. But you have promised that you will not leave us nor forsake us. And Father, this morning, Lord, where we have doubted you, where we have asked, where are you, Lord, where we have screamed at you. Father, I know you don't hold that against us, Lord. You invite us to come to you, to cling to you, to worship you. We ask, Lord, that as we come to you, even in repentance, Lord, saying, Lord, we are sorry that we are sometimes such brats, Lord. Spoiled rotten. We want to bring our suffering to you. We want to bring our hardship to you. And we want to say, Lord, make us grateful so that you can grow in us, Lord God, an everlasting fruit. Thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne, that you are in charge, that you are leading us, Lord God. And sometimes the season we wait for you is long, but you are with us in it. Job. I encourage you this morning, if you've asked yourself recently, Lord, where are you? Lord, this is too painful. Lord, this is too hard. To take that to the Lord this morning and to just put it in your hands and just give it to him and say, Lord, here, it is hard. Thank you that you are carrying it. Father, some of us feel like we're in the middle of a field of thorns, like the enemy is sowing thorns in our way and we see no way through, Lord God, and we are fasting and praying for Michael to come down and to clear the field, Lord God, and you are calling us to keep going. We ask you this morning to show us that you are with us, to strengthen us so that we can keep going. While we keep going and leaning on you, we thank you, Lord, that you are building inside of us an eternal fruit, a reliance on you. Help us draw close to you, Jesus. there is anyone who really feels like, you know, they need prayer or they just want to confess, going through a difficult time, but I just want to give it to the Lord. Please, you're so welcome to come forward. Even if no one is here, there is people, but even if no one gets to you, just stand before the Lord and give it to the Lord. He will pray with you.
Okay, so let's all stand. I'm reminded of a scripture that says, that Jesus spoke, and he said, if you want to save your life, he who seeks to save his life, he will lose it. But he who loses his life for the sake of the gospel will save it. And sometimes we come with our life and we're just trying to save that which we are trying to clutch onto. But let us listen to the words of Christ. Let us give him our lives, and he will save them. Let us give him our lives, and he will save them. Father, we thank you for this word of encouragement, this word of truth, this word that is good seed. Now, Father, I pray that we would be diligent and not lazy in this week especially, and steward this word, and change our direction, to change what we put our eyes on, what we open our ears to, and what we turn our hearts towards. Father, we would turn to what is good. We turn to you.